The first reading today is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, 12 to 26. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers, the company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in the ministry. Now this man bought a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language Akeldama, that is, a field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all that time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." Then they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Easter 7 is a weird week on the Christian calendar. It's a few days after the ascension. So with the creed, we can say that Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. That is something of what Jesus is talking about when he says, "Father, I desire that they might see my glory, that you have given me because you have loved me before the foundation of the world." That's great and all. But the bigger fact to the disciples, and I think often to us, is that Jesus in the flesh is no longer there with them. But what makes this week weirder is that Pentecost is yet to come. The pouring out of the Spirit and everything that means hasn't happened yet in the text. And it's not just a fact of the liturgical calendar. It's not like the 40 days of Lent or the 12 days of Christmas, which are things that are chosen because 40 is a biblical number of preparation and 12 is a biblical number of completeness. Now, the 10 days between Ascension and Pentecost are the actual 10 days as it happened in the life of Christ and of those disciples. So I hope I'm not going to walk too far out on a limb here, because we all do live after Pentecost. And I don't want to forget that and the Spirit that dwells in us. But I think these Easter sevens, these spaces between important days, happen in all of our lives. One chapter has closed. You can even say that it has closed in victory. resurrection, and ascension are victory. Although in our own lives, the victory might not always have been as apparent, the words that the angels tell the disciples seem apt for some of these moments. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? You know, you can just imagine Jesus rising and they're like standing there agape. And that's kind of like us after one chapter has closed. It's kind of what we kind of tend to do. Sit around scratching our heads wondering what's next. Staring at what is no longer there. Sometimes we know that something else is coming down the pike. These disciples should have. They were told to wait until they were clothed with power from on high. They were told that the Spirit would be sent to them. A new chapter of some type would be opening. But right now, we are in this liminal. That's a fancy word for a border or a transition. But we're in this liminal time. What are we to do? So often, we might just stand there, staring up with a dumb look on our face. We want to hold on to the glory days. And maybe in doing so, we let the victory slip away. Forgive me for the sports analogy, but being a Cubs fan, I think I kind of have the perfect analogy. In 2016, they won the World Series, ending 108 years of misery. And don't get me wrong, I'm never going to forget that. But that was a young team. And they had just gelled. Chris Bryant was 24 and had just won the NL MVP. And he was the veteran on the team. But they never really competed again. The shortstop was lost to off-field events, and everyone else just seemed to know that they would never equal that moment. The only guy really still playing is Kyle Schwarber, who was the most marginal one of that team. And the hopes for a second title faded. And Cub fans might have been perplexed at what had happened, but nobody was really ever mad. Maybe the next chapter is not as grand as what came before. But that doesn't excuse not opening it. Because God does always have stuff for us to do. I think our first lesson for the day is the example of what you do between those chapters. Another of the things that we can often do when we're in that transitional time is lose track of people. We let people from the last chapter walk away without keeping an eye on them. Or we aren't having our eyes opened for people that are walking into our lives for the next chapter. We lose our history without embracing the future. What the disciples do is exactly the opposite. Everyone that was part of that last chapter is gathered together. Luke, the writer of Acts, tells us that this was about 120 people at that point. And Peter does two things. First, he openly and bravely addresses the open secret. One of the 12, the complete number of the apostles, those sent ones, had betrayed Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in the ministry. Whatever else you can say about victory in the past chapter, there were also losses. And Peter recognizes those, names them, Judas, and commits them to the judgment of God. Things that are in the past. The best we can often do is commit them to God. If they require repentance, repent. And have faith that God has forgiven us. If they are events that should be remembered, place the boundary stones that you took as you crossed the river, offer the sacrifice, and move as God directs. In this case, the movement that God directed was, let another take his office. The mission of those disciples was going to continue. And so they drew lots and appointed Matthias. Now they are still waiting for that empowerment for the mission, but they are also doing what they can do to be ready for that. Those disciples recognized the end of one chapter and turned to face the new one. And you find yourself in a liminal space. Recognize that which is past and turn and prepare the best you can for what is to come. Which brings up the question of how. How do we do this? How do we prepare? How do we discern the calling of the next chapter? All of these, those disciples, the roughly 120, were with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer. Those transition times are rarely times to go and make bold action. It's generally wise advice not to make major life-changing decisions when you're in the midst of mourning. Instead, there are times to gather your thoughts, to visit with old friends, and to seek the face of God in the ways that are given to you. And the ways that were given to those disciples are the same as the ways that are given to us. We seek God in word and sacrament because Christ has promised to be there. In word and sacrament, he has made known that the love for which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. That Christ may have ascended, but he has never left us. And that Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father is ensuring that we shall see that glory. The final chapter we will all open will be the one that John has in Revelation. The water of life flowing right through the city. We are to seek God in prayer. He promises to hear us. We can seek God in the communion of the saints, like those 120 gathered. The consolation of fellow believers that is given to us, that we might bear one another's burdens. In the middle of the action, in the middle of the trial, we might forget those things. When the next chapter opens, we should remain constant, but it doesn't always work out that way, which is why in that transition time we should prepare. With one accord, they devoted themselves to prayer. And now, the last part of any liminal time. after you've recognized and memorialized the closed chapter, and after you've spent your time in prayer and preparation, and you've decided on a course, you have to move and have faith in God to work all things for His glory. Those disciples identified two people who met what they thought were the requirements. They had decided that Judas needed to be replaced. They had prayed for God's blessing. And then they cast lots for them. And Matthias was numbered among the 11. Do we know if the lot fell on the right person? Not really. Matthias is never mentioned again. Extra biblical evidence holds that he was crucified preaching in what is Georgia, and not Georgia in the United States, but Georgia over in Europe. There's an old Roman stone in the area claiming that this was his tomb. But there are other records that have other ends for Matthias. And there are plenty of people that have commented that Peter and the 11 had decided wrong, and that's why Christ had to appear to Paul. But honestly, whatever happened to Matthias isn't the point of the last step. It's the last step out of a liminal time. And the point is, you have to take that step. You have to have faith that God does intend another chapter. And even if you don't know it, you know enough to make that step. And we are called to faith that God will bless His people through it. We're called to faith to know that the Father loves us. We are called to know that Christ sits at His right hand. And we are called so that the world may know that the Father sent Christ and that Christ has loved His own. And that wherever they are, they too are called to be in Christ's love. We are to live in that faith in the midst of this world, such that they might all see the love of God. We are called to live each of our steps in faith that God loves us and is working everything for the best of those who believe. Amen.